Hello, St. Georgians, near and far, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. On day 196 of our year of the Bible, looking for the first time at the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah, the prophet's prophet, the longest of the prophetic books with 66 chapters. How many books are there in the Bible? 66. Who knows? The chapters were added not until the 13th century by an Archbishop of Canterbury, I should mention. That's artifice. Nonetheless, it's an interesting little fact. 66 books of the Bible, 66 chapters in Isaiah. Isaiah divided into broadly two sections, chapters 1 through 39, and then chapters 40 through 66. Chapters 1 through 39 are, for the most part, prophecies of condemnation about Israel, Jerusalem, what's going to happen to it. Also leavened with a few lighter moments, but for the most part, 1 through 39 are condemnation, written before the exile, before the fall of Jerusalem and the exile to Babylon. And it is a call of, like I said, sort of excoriation about what Jerusalem has become. 40 through 66 are more like prophecies of comfort about the return from Babylon, about the coming of the Messiah, and that kind of thing. Isaiah, like I said, the prophet's prophet, the prophet most frequently quoted in the New Testament, with dozens of quotations and many more possible allusions to Isaiah. Isaiah is sometimes called, as early as Augustine, called the fifth gospel, because Isaiah foretells the coming of the Messiah in a way that is really unequaled. So as you're reading or listening to Isaiah, keep your ears out for things that you recognize from something else, whether that is straight up quotations from the New Testament or lines from Handel's Messiah or just things that sort of are used in the Christian tradition, sort of more broadly. So, for example, right there at the beginning of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 3, the ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger. Its owner's what? Its owner's manger. So how many creche scenes have you seen with an ox and a donkey? Well, that's where it comes from. If you know Isaiah, right, with the people. Now we know he was in a stable, right? So all of these things, anyway, fit together. So keep your eyes out for something like that. There are a couple, Isaiah, you know, it's long, but frequently you'll sort of recognize things that you've heard before. Unlike something like, you know, Leviticus is always the example that we use. Leviticus, which you're reading, you're like, yeah, I don't know, I haven't heard of this stuff. Judges, right? You'll recognize, I think, a lot of this. Chapter 2, the law will go out for Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That is, the word of the Lord will go out from Jerusalem. What is the word of the Lord? Well, the word of the Lord is, the spoken word of the Lord, or the written word later, the written word of the Lord. But the capital W word of the Lord is, of course, Jesus himself. And so over in Luke, chapter 24, Luke says, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Right, so there you go. Chapter 2 also includes what you've heard before. This is not Christmas related. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. They will not train for war anymore. And you've probably heard that before swords into plowshares. Well, this is where it comes from, the second chapter of Isaiah. Now, the second chapter of Isaiah also has a lot of sort of apocalyptic talk about the day of the Lord that's coming. Now, you hear a lot about the day of the Lord in the other prophets, like all over the place. So in Advent, you will hear a lot about the day of the Lord. Chapter 2, verse 6, you, Lord, have abandoned your people, the descendants of Jacob. Well, now, why? Because they're full of superstitions. They practice divination. Their land. How about this? Their land is full of silver and gold. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There's no end to the chariots. Like, wait a minute. That sounds like a good thing, right? I mean, the superstitions and the divination, like, that's not good things. But don't you want your land full of silver and gold? Don't you want a whole bunch of treasures? Don't you want sort of the horses and the chariots? No. No, that is not what God created Israel to be, and that's not following the law of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? The other thing that chapter 2 has a lot of is sort of mentioned several times. How do you want to get away from the day of the Lord? You go into the rocks, you hide in the ground from the presence of the Lord. It says, when the day of the Lord comes, people will flee to caves in the rocks and to holes in the ground from the fearful presence of the Lord. That is exactly what happens in the book of Revelation, at the coming of the Lord. The people do that. They go into the caves and they ask for the rocks to fall on them so they don't have to pay, so that they don't have to face the Lord. Like I said, tons and tons and tons of Isaiah all over the Bible. We think the Isaiah wrote over the course of time, according to chapter 1, verse 1, of about five of the kings of Judah. Remember, Judah is the southern kingdom. Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. That's four. Jeroboam. Jeroboam came first. Jeroboam, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah. It could be that the last of the kings was the one who killed him. But Isaiah doesn't write about his own death, unlike Moses. So we're not sure. Isaiah seems to have been someone who was fairly aristocratic, with full pockets. At least he started out that way. Doesn't look like he continued that way. And that's what happens when you go around telling everybody that their land is full of silver and gold and the Lord's going to come to them. Nonetheless, the prophet's prophet. So we're talking about the 8th century BC. 8th century BC. Hezekiah dies in the early 7th century BC, but we're talking about this mostly the 700s for this beginning part, for the beginning part of Isaiah. They have not been taken into Babylon yet. They're dealing with Assyria at this point, not Babylon. But lots and lots and lots of well. First of all, it's really long. There's lots and lots and lots of everything in the book of Isaiah. But again, very important for the Christian faith. Very important for the Jewish faith for sure. But very important for the Christian faith. The messianic prophet, sort of par excellence. So, like I said, it's very long. It's got a lot going on with it. Nonetheless. You'll recognize some things in there that I think will make it enjoyable to read. So I hope you do enjoy it. Let us pray. O God, who has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. All right, have a great rest of your day. I'll see you on day 197.